What are the most common misconceptions about veganism and bodybuilding you encounter, and how do you address them?
There's still, and I know this was a previous question, kind of, there's still a misconception that plant proteins are incomplete or inferior. And if you look at them amino acid by amino acid, you can make a case for that, like branched chain amino acids, leucine, isoleucine, and valine, which are regarded to be the best at stimulating muscle protein synthesis. But nutritional reductionism in any regards to health, I think, is it gets you caught in the weeds, and it's much more useful to zoom out and look at what actually happens when people eat these diets. And so if you just see people following plant-based diets, as I mentioned in a previous question, studies show that people eating similar amounts of protein have similar amounts of lean body mass. People who strength train and supplement with similar amounts of protein, plant or animal, see similar amounts of muscle gain. So while you can make a case, oh yeah, that amino acid is going to be less in plants, and therefore it's going to be inferior because this amino acid in a petri dish has these effects, when you look at people actually eating the food, doing the exercises, they're seeing the results. So that's a misconception that I think is largely unfounded, and I definitely encourage people to look at more of epidemiological research than, like a clinical or biochemical research. Other misconceptions could be things like, micronutrients like B12, iron, or even creatine. But the ironic thing about those is bodybuilders are some of the biggest supplement pill poppers in the world. They take protein supplements, they take piles and piles of performance supplements, they take health supplements. So if you're going to already be supplementing your diet as a bodybuilder, then worrying about people having to supplement, say, B12 as a vegan is kind of silly, it doesn't make any sense to me. So I've never had any problem with B12. No vegan I've ever met has had a problem with B12, as an example. But it's if you're going to be a bodybuilder, you're going to take supplements, then why would you complain about someone needing to take supplements for any other kind of way of eating, especially when the results are similar and there's very marked health benefits that are well established in the literature.
Thank you. Chef AJ, in your book, you discussed the importance of whole foods. Can you explain the difference between whole and processed foods in the context of weight loss?
Sure. Well, just to differentiate, a whole food is generally something that is found in nature in its whole food form. A non-whole food or processed food is something that's not. So, in other words, one comes from a plant, one is manufactured in a plant. But in terms of weight loss, there's several reasons that whole foods are superior to processed foods. And also, I'm not sure the word processed is the best word, because if I put, chickpeas in a food processor with lemon juice and garlic and tahini, I'm processing it into hummus, but I'm not really taking anything out. I'm not stripping it of vital nutrients. So I think about refined food is being ultra processed food. So there's a little bit of a difference there. But in terms of weight loss, whole foods, with the exception of nuts and seeds, which are of a very high caloric density, in general, the whole foods are very low in caloric density. Fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and legumes, they have between 100 and 600 calories per pound. Whereas processed foods, things like sugars, flours, alcohol, these are much higher caloric density. So sugar is 1800 calories per pound, flour about 1500 calories per pound, oil 4000 calories per pound. When you think about it, if you take olives, that's a whole food found in nature with water, fiber, vitamins, minerals, phytochemicals, antioxidants, micronutrients, they're about 600 calories per pound. You process them into olive oil, you remove all the beneficial components, it's now 4,000 calories per pound. You take sugar beets, which are about 195 calories per pound, process them into cane beet sugar, 1800 calories per pound, nine times as calorically dense. So anytime you process a food, you make it calorie rich, nutrient poor, but you exponentially increase the calorie density. Now, there are things that are healthy whole foods that can have increased calorie density, not for processing. So, for example, you could take apples, which are about 200 calories per pound, but you dry them into dried apples, another 1300 calories per pound. You're removing the water. So anytime you remove the water, remove the fiber, or both, you're increasing calorie density. So if your goal is weight loss, but even I would argue health, You want to eat your foods as much as possible in their wholest forms with the water and fiber and nutrients intact, and either eliminate or minimize the animal products and processed foods, which are of a much higher caloric density. Animal products, by the way, are much higher in caloric density than fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and legumes. And so people think they're healthy, which I don't believe they are, but they're also calorically dense, especially things like, you know, salmon and pork and I mean, cheese, 1600 calories per pound. And we evolved at a calorie density much lower than that, according to evolutionary psychologist, Dr. Doug Lyle, at about 750 calories per pound. So, you know, nature didn't make a mistake. And if all you ate was unprocessed foods, it would be very, very difficult for somebody to have a weight problem. Eat foods that are found in nature, and you know, eat plants fit into your pants is the bottom line.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Kartik, can you discuss any recent breakthroughs in the field of cultured meat that you find particularly exciting or promising?
Yeah. I'll talk about two. So one is recent news that actually just occurred this week. This company Vow got approval for quail meat in Singapore. And I find this really cool because the first few companies have focused on things like chicken, and it just doesn't really make sense to me. Chicken is already, you know, this mass produced meat, and you know, it's just going to be so hard to actually work at a techno-economic scale. And so this other company went for something that was much more I guess desirable in terms of quail meat. And so I thought that was an interesting play. So that's one. The other is pet food. So As I'm sure everyone here knows, the consternation with getting cats vegan, and you know, while I think it's definitely possible with just plants, I know not everyone has accepted that. And so I think one of the biggest impacts cultivated meat can make is with especially cat food. And I actually had the chance to meet a friend a couple of weeks ago who was talking to me about some of the breakthroughs recently with some of the seafood in using cultivated meat technology. And already right now, it seems like we're close to being able to get something to package for cats that that they can eat and get a nutritionally complete diet from.
Thank you. Derek and Chef AJ, if someone had no oil, no nuts, no seeds, no olives, no avocado, and they just ate beans, whole grains, not even pasta, just actual beans and whole grains like quinoa, millet, amaranth, teff, buckwheat, wild rice, beans, meaning chickpeas, lentils, white beans, lima beans, black-eyed peas, and vegetables and potatoes. Would they gain weight? Could they gain weight? Could they be overweight and obese? Like, what is your experience with people that literally just eat nothing but beans, whole grains, vegetables, and potatoes? Does it always work that their weight is okay? Are they sometimes overweight? What do you find?
I've never seen anyone that eats the way I eat or recommend that's been obese. Now, will everyone be super, super skinny? You know, there is a genetic variable in how we could all four of us right here could go to the True North Health Center and eat exactly the same food, and we're going to end up different sizes because genetics is really the number one determinant of what you weigh. Let's face it, look at your parents, your grandparents, that kind of thing. I mean, I come from a morbidly obese lineage. And that's why if you saw the people that came before me, you'd be like, you didn't come from this family. My mother probably weighed 300 or 400 pounds, as did my brother. So this did not come naturally. So I think that there's always going to be people that are outliers that for either due to emotional eating or some reason could eat more food than they need, because let's face it, calories do matter. And if you put in more fuel than your body needs, it eventually, even the healthiest food gets stored as fat. I have never seen anyone who was maybe more than 10 pounds than they wish they could be eating the way I eat. So, you know, is it possible? Probably. Is it likely? No.
Yeah, I would answer exactly the same way. Technically, it is possible, because if you have a big enough caloric surplus, you know, you will store body fat. But getting that big of a caloric surplus with whole plant foods that are not high in fat, like the nuts and seeds and avocados, would be a lot of work. I can speak from personal experience. The very first time I tried to really bulk up over 200 pounds, which was about 12 years ago now, I tried to do it with as many whole foods as possible because I value my long-term health. I wanted to perform well and everything. It was incredibly challenging. And I wasn't eating a perfectly whole food diet, but I was eating vast majority whole plant foods. I got up to about 7,000 calories a day, which is a lot. And it was no fun whatsoever, I got to tell you. And I was able to gain that weight. So it was possible eating primarily whole plant foods. But it took a massive surplus because of all the, you know, metabolic stimulation of a high fiber diet and you know, the good microbiome and stimulation, all that. Your metabolism is just humming along on these whole plant foods. So you have to have a pretty big surplus for it to cause any sort of weight retention. It's not something I could ever have maintained for a long period of time. So an average person would have to work very hard, I think, to gain any significant amount of weight eating that. And if they didn't have a really good reason to, I don't see it happening.